You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
So the testing of faith works thoroughly through down to endurance, produces endurance. It's an emphatic verb form, and it's in the present tense, which means the development from trials is ongoing. It's not just one trial and I got matured. There'll be ongoing trials, and those trials will continue to work. The testing of the faith will continue to work it down until endurance is there. More endurance and more endurance. And by the way, we're going to learn next week that endurance is not the goal. Endurance is the means to the goal.
Many of us would probably be quick to agree that if we were to have any hopes of holding our own in a marathon, we would first need to build up our endurance. In order to do this, we typically test ourselves repeatedly by pushing our limits. As Pastor Tom will teach you in his message today, this is exactly what we do as believers whenever we face various trials. In his study, you'll learn how the testing of our faith builds up endurance and how that endurance plays a crucial role in authenticating our faith. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, Trials, Pathway to Maturity, Part 2.
I wonder if you believe that your faith is more precious than gold. You have an opportunity. God's going to give you faith or God's going to give you a lot of gold. Which one would you take? Come on. You're going to take gold, right? Many of you, be honest, you'd be saying, I'll take the gold. I don't know that my faith is that precious. Oh, tisk, tisk, tisk. Why is faith more precious than gold? Are you kidding? Man, first of all, you don't take the gold with you, right? You know the mummies, they bury all the gold and stuff in there with them? They just pack it all in the coffin, you know? There it is. I don't think he's wearing it. Wherever he is. What does your faith bring you? Ah, your faith brings you heaven, paradise, eternal life. And then down here, joy, peace, confidence, meaning in life. Your faith is more precious than gold, period. I know all week long you're listening to the malls and the commercials and they're saying the opposite, but that's why you come to church, so we can wash all that out of you. Read the word. Gold is eventually lost. I know it's exciting. You go to a jewelry shop, you know, you pull in there, got a little money, want to get something for my sweetie. I'm going to buy that, bring it home. You're all excited about the gold. Don't get too excited about the gold. It's not that great. Thomas Lee says, God uses trials to purge and remove defects from immature faith. We want faith to grow. Proverbs 27:21 says, the crucible is for silver and the furnace for gold. We know the other proverb says, but God tests hearts. So proving the quality of your faith, even while purifying that faith, is what a trial does. It does both. It proves it's genuine and purifies it. Spurgeon, in a sermon called All Joy in Trials, yes, it was on this passage, wrote this. It's a little long. Coming out of a trouble, that's what he calls a trial, a trouble. Coming out of a trouble, the Christian says to himself, yes, I held fast mine integrity, and I did not let it go. Blessed be God, I was not afraid of threatening. I was not crushed by losses. I was kept true to God under pressure. Now I am sure that my religion is not a mere profession, but a real consecration to God. It has endured the fire, being kept by the power of God. Then he goes on. If in the darkest hour you have still said, I cast my burden upon the Lord and he will sustain me, and you find that he does sustain you, then is your faith that of God's elect? Then he goes on. I find it especially sweet to learn the great strength of the Lord in my own weakness. We find out under trial where we are most weak. And just then, in answer to prayer, strength is given answerable to the need. The Lord suits the help to the hindrance and puts the plaster on the wound. In the very hour when it is needed, the needed grace is given. Does this not tend to breed assurance of faith? I'm weak. Lord, I need help. Delivers. Ah, God is there for me. Faith increases, right? That's what the trial is doing. Listen to the strength of faith that the prophet Habakkuk verbalized in chapter 3 of his book, verses 17 and 18. And believe me, he struggled with faith at the beginning of that book. But then he writes this, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls. Now, in case you're understanding, if you're an agrarian society, that's pretty bad. Yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. That's a mature faith. Everything falling apart around me. I can't see the goodness of God in the actual provisions that are usually there and I need. Where an unbeliever will start cursing God. He says, I will bless God. I will exalt in the God of my salvation. Is your faith there? James 5:10, later he'll throw this in. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. They spoke and had to suffer. And then they get back up and speak again. We may also say that God is purging you and developing your faith through fire. Because of that, I think that it is a reasonable deduction to say that God has chosen the trial particularly for you. That it's not just, pick any trial you want, they'll all do the same effect. Maybe there's a degree of truth to that, but the specific trial is maturing your character probably in a number of ways that sometimes it just takes hindsight, looking back months or years to figure out, now I see why I had to go through that. But you can't see it at the moment. I think he's particular. I would also add this in way of biblical support, that the way that God tried Abraham is very different than the way that God tried David in the Bible. And the way he tried David is different from Job. And the particulars that Job went through were different than Jacob, and which were different from Joseph, which were different from Elijah. You get the point, right? Each had their own unique life situation. So don't sit there and say, nobody knows what I'm going through. Nobody can relate. God's put you through something unique because he's putting you through that unique thing. It has commonality with everyone else's temptation, but there's some unique aspects of it. Because he's working on you uniquely, that means he's thinking about you. Rejoice in that. Another example is Paul, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. Concerning this thorn in my flesh, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And Christ said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, said Paul, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, what? Then I'm strong. Third observation, still in verse 3. For James, faith is central to the Christian life. Faith is essential to the Christian life. Indeed, faith is the energizing principle of living the Christian life. People think that James is an apostle of works, but he's a teacher of faith first before you get to works, right? Some of the people in their religion get that messed up. They want to go to church, be good, do some good things, and they forget that God won't receive you into heaven because he thinks you're good. You're not good. I'm not good. They say, Pastor, you don't even know me. Yeah, I know you. You're part of the race of Adam. You're part of the human race. You're one of our brothers. And so you're a sinner. That's what the Bible says of all of us, right? So you're a sinner. And if you try to come to God with your good works, God will just say it's not good enough. I don't care how many you do. It'll never be good enough. You've got sin, and one sin will keep you out of heaven. So you've got more than one. Hey, come on, be honest. You got more than one, right? So you're not going to bring your righteousness and your works to God. So you have to have faith in Christ and his goodness for you to be forgiven. And then you can begin doing works, right? So James is saying faith is the energizing principle. It's how you get saved, and it's the energizing principle of everything that comes out. You want to grow in love, you need faith. You want to have more love, you need more faith. You want to have more joy, you need more faith. You want to have more peace of mind, you need to have more faith. It's the energizing principle. Faith is so important. Your faith is so important, it has to go through the test. Your Christian works come out of faith. Your ministry comes out of faith. Your love for your wife comes out of faith. Being a better parent comes out of faith. You got to test the faith. And when he says your faith, James again is proving what we said before, and that is he's writing to believers. These are saved people he's writing to. And by the way, the your faith is plural, which means he's writing to the believing community. Faith is important that the believing community has a testimony, yes? That we do not act like unbelievers. We act distinct, and that is because we have faith. So not just individually or not just your family, but your concern ought to be for the collective known as the church. And you ought to be very concerned that the church's faith, as it gets refined, shines in the community properly. Oh, look, those people, You see on the Weather Channel once in a while, oh man, a church got wiped out somewhere in Tennessee or Nebraska or something like that. And you see the people still huddling together in the remains, and they're standing there and they're worshiping God. You're like, now that's faith. There they are, trusting in God. Disaster hits and they don't say, well, God must hate us. He ruined our beautiful church steeple. No, these are people of faith. Faith makes a difference. Faith in Christ makes a difference. Faith is going to be constantly challenged. And if you go to the university, your faith is challenged. There's no good argument against the Christian faith, by the way. Absolutely no good argument against it. The arguments they give me show that they don't understand the Christian faith all that well, and so they've wrongly represented and shot down a straw man, or they haven't followed through what they're saying in a fair way. There's no good argument against the Bible and against the Christian faith. But faith is constantly challenged. Then even if someone doesn't come along and tries to chop down your Christian faith, just the bad events of life can play in the head. God's not listening to me. God doesn't listen to my prayers. God's not concerned with me. I've had this problem so long. Oh, my goodness. God doesn't care about me. There's no good God up there. If it works for someone else, it doesn't work for me. Wrong. He's good for everyone, but everyone's on a different kind of way in which, or point of maturity and way in which God is working with them. You can't look over at that person and say, well, you know, they go to church and they don't have the trials I have. Yeah, but they're going to have other trials at another time. You got to think clearly about this. So our faith needs to grow. You know, there are those that define saving faith too narrowly. They just say it's an assent to facts. They make a quick profession of faith and they think they've trusted in Christ. They got baptized, but they're not really saved. Faith always has an active element to it. There's an initial, when you come to faith, there's an initial submission to the Lordship of Christ. You confess Him as Lord and mean it. You don't understand all the implications of that. You're not fully obedient. There's still a lot in your life that needs to be purged out. Thus the refining process. Still a lot of sin in there. But the initial saving faith has to show at least some fruit, some response to God. It can't just be a bare profession, right? True saving faith is active. And that's why 2 Corinthians 13 encourages people to test yourselves. Interesting. Test yourselves to see whether or not you are in the faith. A faith that doesn't end up following and doesn't bear at least some fruit is not a saving faith. But, of course, even saving faith has much that it needs developing. In an article entitled Faith According to the Apostle James, John MacArthur writes, believers do fail, and they sometimes fail miserably, as we see in Scripture. Lot, for example, was a pathetic example of compromise and disobedience. If all we knew about him were what the Old Testament records, we might write him off as an unbeliever. Yet the inspired New Testament writer tells us that Lot was oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, referring to Lot, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day with their lawless deeds. Talking about his living in Sodom. 2 Peter 2, verse 8. The Scriptures are very real in presenting the real struggles of real believers and their sins. True faith will produce at least some works. And James in the New Testament defined these works mainly as works of love. So we say it this way. Love is the fruit, but faith is the what? The root. Come on, it rhymes. You should have gotten that. Love is the fruit, but faith is the root. Thank you. You don't get love without the root. You want the fruit, you need the root. Work on the root. Make sure the ground is good. See, again, people think because they have a lot of knowledge about the Bible, their faith is strong. No. No, what it means is you have a lot of knowledge about the Bible. Faith has to be tested. It's essential that faith's genuineness be tested, refined, and strengthened. Now, please don't misunderstand. Trials do not strengthen or produce endurance in unbelievers. When an unbeliever gets a trial after trial after trial, what happens to them? Well, they end up like Pharaoh. He becomes more and more confused, more and more like a madman, more and more crazy, more and more blasphemous, right? They get one trial on top of another. It just makes them bitter, not better. They blame God. You know, when an unbeliever has good happen in their life, they take credit for it. Look what I did. Look what I got. Look what I procured. Look how my family is. But when bad happens, they're quick like, why'd you do this, God? They're very unreasonable. And God will judge them for that being unreasonable. Jesus said in John 8:31, if you continue in me, you are truly my disciples. So continuance, endurance is the mark of a true believer. It's the pathway also to greater maturity. Hebrews 3:14 says, "We have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance," that's faith, "the beginning of our assurance firm until the end." Faith will endure, it'll persevere. If it's true faith, it goes through the testing. Now, in the midst of that, you may be wondering and you may be really struggling. That doesn't mean you're not a believer. That means you're struggling. We'll just see what happens with your faith. See where God takes you. Genuine faith will not completely fade away. It will stand the test of time. Hebrews 11 is one example after another of men and women who by faith endured a whole assortment of trials and were proven believers and grew in their character as God helped them shed sins over a longer period of time. Fourth observation from this verse. James writes at the end of verse 3 that the testing of our faith produces, and here's where we kind of come to, produces endurance. Now, produces is the verb works, literally. It comes from sort of a compound Greek word here, kata ergazomai. And kata means down, and ergazomai means to work, so it means to work it down. And that means to work it thoroughly through. So the testing of faith works thoroughly through down to endurance, produces endurance. It's an emphatic verb form. And it's in the present tense, which means the development from trials is ongoing. It's not just one trial and I got mature. There will be ongoing trials, and those trials will continue to work. The testing of the faith will continue to work it down until endurance is there. More endurance and more endurance. And by the way, we're going to learn next week that endurance is not the goal. Endurance is the means to the goal. You'll see that. Trials keep working to produce endurance until there is endurance there. Why do I keep getting trials? Answer, you need more endurance. Trials keep coming because you need more endurance. Well, let's put it another way. There's no way you can get endurance without trials. There's not another way. It'd be nice, wouldn't it? Next week, we're offering a course on getting endurance. You come in, take the course, walk out, and now you have endurance. No. No, you've learned what endurance is and how you should have it, but you don't necessarily have the endurance, right? If we could just understand the great value of endurance and faith and understand that we don't get endurance without trials, we would begin to sense that pure joy that James exhorted us to have when we encounter various trials. The testing comes not only to reveal our faith as genuine, but to strengthen our faith so we can have more endurance. So endurance can then do its work. Spurgeon, in that same sermon I quoted before, said, "The man who truly possesses patience is the man that has been tried." Look around. Who's got Christian endurance? Ask them to give a testimony. What has been going on in your life? And they'll tell you, trials. Trials, a lot of them. "Well, I didn't know that from your response. You're so joyful and you're so strong and God's matured you." Well, yeah, that's the point. God's matured me through the trials. But I wouldn't have been here without the trials. So I thank God for my trials. Endurance is the word hupomonane. Hupomonane. Patience is not quite the best way to translate that word. Hupomonane means more than that. It means stick-to-itness. It has the idea of just staying underneath something, not running out under the pressure, but staying there and strongly enduring it. Putting it on the shoulders and saying, "I take this load. I'm going to carry this thing." It's a determination. You got a pack on the back. You look at the hill. You look at the mountain. And you're like, "I'm going to get up there." That's endurance. Particularly if you make it, right? D. Edmund Hebert says, "It is a virtue that grows under trial and testing, a brave manliness that confronts the difficulties and contends against them, tenacity of spirit which holds up under pressure." I like that. So endurance is not this. Sometimes we think of endurance this way, so we think we have it. We say something like, "Oh boy, how long will this trial last?" And we think we have endurance. That's not endurance. That's passive resignation. If that's your response to trials, you don't have endurance yet. Later, James will write in James 5:11, "You have heard of the endurance of Job." Now there's a guy. There's a guy who had endurance. Douglas Moo writes, "The picture is of a person successfully carrying a heavy load for a long time." R. Kent Hughes writes, "We develop toughness or fortitude by repeatedly being tested and prevailing. The more tests we pass, the tougher we become. As a boxer engages in bout after bout, he toughens, becomes wiser and stronger. After a time, he develops such fortitude, perseverance, and staying power that he can take on the best. There is no way a fighter or any of us can develop toughness without testing." The pulpit commentary says this, "Christian patience is not the submission of indifference or merely the determination of an obstinate will. It is inspired by living piety, and it is therefore full of intelligence and manliness. The apostle's words show that he regards this grace of endurance as inexpressibly precious. He looks upon its possessor as, in the truest sense, a wise and wealthy man. The man who uses every fresh trial in such a way as only to increase his power of holy endurance is unspeakably a gainer by his calamity." Wow, so you can gain by your calamities. If you can gain by your calamities, then everything in life is going to be happy and joyful, right? If things go well with you, you're like, well, things went well with me. Thank God, I'm glad things went well. And things go really poorly as you judge it at first, and you realize, I can really gain by this. Do you understand what that does to your perspective on life? Back to Spurgeon again. "Calm resignation does not come all at once. Often long years of physical pain or mental depression or disappointment in business or multiplied bereavements are needed to bring the soul into full submission to the will of the Lord. After much crying, the child is weaned. After much chastening, the son is made obedient to his father's will. By degrees, we learn to end our quarrel with God and to desire that there may not be two wills between God and ourselves, but that God's will may be our will. Oh, brother, if your troubles work you to that, you are a gainer. I am sure, and you may count them all joy." Please, let me repeat this. Endurance is not passive resignation. Remember that old song, "Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera." That's not it. That's not it. It's not holding back the tears, gritting the teeth, or pretending not to be discouraged so you can look good in church. By the way, do you share your struggles with other people in church? If you don't, because you're fearful how they might think about it, you're judging them. You're judging them. Can't judge their lack of love. Share. If they mess you up then you can judge them. But share. Passive resignation results in defeat of mind and heart. You can't win that way. Active perseverance results in triumph. This is the active element in faith. It's not quietism, just sitting there waiting for it to pass. You know, some of you have stamina in areas of your life, so you know what stamina is. You can go to work, you could put up with all these people that come, and you have to deal with people, and you have a lot of endurance in that. Or you know, some of your mommies, you're putting up with a lot more than I put up with, you know. After about the fifth or sixth, mommy, it drives me nuts. Daddy, what? You already have it in some areas. Let me ask you, though, do you have spiritual stamina? Some of you are honest. You're saying, no, I don't think I do. I don't think I've really been tested that much. Precisely. So that means that you can look forward in your future to what? Testing. And that's why you can consider it God's grace to you when you lose your job, when you have a loss of a loved one, when you're in an accident. You can look at each and every trial and say, God's grace is working right there in my life.
God is good and gracious, and the trials He allows in your life are the same. In his message today, Pastor Tom reminded you that God lets you go through fire to refine you and grow your faith. Yes, it will be difficult to endure, and yes, it may take a while for resolution and peace to return, but you can trust in your perfect Heavenly Father. His plans include this trial in your life, and He will never, ever leave your side. We're so glad you joined us today on Discover Hope. We'd like to meet you. So if you're in the area, come visit us at Hope Bible Church. Our Sunday mornings include Bible classes at 9:30 a.m., followed by a worship service at 11 a.m. You can find out more at hopebible.org or give us a call at 443-200-HOPE. That's 443-200-HOPE. We'd also like to invite you to join us in bringing the kingdom of God and the joy of salvation to our listeners by becoming a financial partner of Discover Hope. Find out more under the Giving tab at hopebible.org. Your muscles need to be exercised in order to function properly. You can't sit around all day every day and expect to climb Mount Everest. Your body needs to be moved and strengthened, and so does your faith. Pastor Tom will go into more detail on the next edition of Discover Hope, reminding you that exercising faith likely means enduring a trial. Don't fear that trial, though. You have Jesus to support you through it. To listen again to today's message in the book of James, visit hopebible.org and look under the Sermons tab. Pastor Tom will return soon with another in-depth study of God's Word. So join us again, right here on Discover Hope.